In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is, ever shall be.
The Apostle Paul was certainly no stranger to suffering. If you go back earlier in the chapter from the epistle text that we hear this morning to the verses just prior to the epistle where the epistle text begins this morning, we in fact hear the Apostle describe many of the things that he suffered. He suffered various persecutions. Five times he received 39 lashes. Three times he was beaten with rods. Once he was stoned and left for dead. And he suffered various hardships as well. He was shipwrecked three times. He spent a day and a night in the open ocean, in the deep. He suffered under the stress of constant peril. He suffered weariness, toil, sleeplessness, cold. Hunger and thirst were his constant companions. The Apostle Paul was truly no stranger to suffering. He understood that suffering was a part of life in this world, and he knew well that Christians aren't spared this suffering. And in addition to this normal struggle of life that all human beings have to endure, Christians are uniquely called to take up their cross and follow Christ, which presents yet another realm in which we suffer hardship. The Apostle knew these things, he taught these things, he lived these things. And not once do we hear the Apostle complain about these things or pray that God would somehow deliver him out of these things. He understood this is his lot in life, this is life, this is how it is. And yet, today in the epistle text, if you heard it, we hear something unique that we never hear the Apostle do ever. He tells a story of how he once pleaded for the Lord to take away this thorn that was in his flesh. There was certainly, after we hear all of that suffering, all of the hardship that he's just describing, and certainly there's more than that. That's just his brief description of what he had been through. After we hear all of that, and then we recognize what he pleads about this thorn, certainly we must recognize this morning that there was something about this thorn in his flesh that was unique. The nature of this thorn has been debated down through the centuries, what the nature of it was exactly. Some people say it's this, some people say it's something else. We don't know. The Apostle Paul did not make it clear. He didn't want it to be known, or he would have clearly said what it was. We ultimately don't know the answer. There's some good theories out there, but we ultimately don't know the answer. But the thorn, what we do know is that the thorn affected him in a way that other forms of suffering, other forms of hardship in his life did not affect him. For some reason, this thorn in his flesh pushed him to his limit. This thorn in his flesh was to that point where he felt it was too much for him. It brought too much in his life, so much that he felt it was too much, and cried out to the Lord that he would take it from him. We all know the outcome to that prayer this morning because the apostle reveals it to us in the epistle text. The Lord answered with a disappointing response. He's not going to take it away from him. But rather, the Lord spoke to him and assured him that his grace is sufficient for him. And the Lord instructed the apostle that God's power, in fact, is made perfect in the context of human weakness. The apostle wrote this deeply personal story to the Corinthian believers for one reason, because they needed to learn the same lesson that the apostle Paul had learned. And ultimately, all of us as Christian believers must learn this lesson that the apostle Paul learned. Must become ingrained in our consciousness, must be imprinted on our senses. It must be part of the very lens through which we see the world. God's power is made perfect in weakness. It's when we are weak, then we observe the fact that God is in fact strong. When we are weak, then God has the opportunity for his strength to be displayed, for his strength to prevail in our lives. And when God's strength makes itself known to us in those moments of our weakness, we know something happened. We know it's not ourselves. We know that it was God that was at work in our life. So it's an opportunity. Our weakness is an opportunity for God to display his power at work in our life. And when those moments happen in our life, we can't take credit for it because we recognize we're weak. We can do nothing. It's God working and prevailing in our life. We know it wasn't us, it was God that was at work in us. And thus we cannot boast as though it's our accomplishment. We must give all the glory to God who has truly worked in us and through us. We, like the apostle, can't boast in anything except our weakness. And there's humility in that approach. It welcomes God's strength into our life. It welcomes His sufficient and abundant grace into our lives. And we have to back up and just consider briefly. The truth is, all of us have our own ideas about how life should be. It begins from a very small, young age. We begin to dream about what I'm going to do when I grow up. We start to have this vision of what our life will be like, and we start to dream about that and make plans for that. Some of that is realized, and some of that, as we all know, is never realized in our life. Because as we start to build up what we envision life to be, in part, it becomes a fantasy. And when life inevitably does not work out the way that we wanted it to work out, or the way that we expected it to work out, because it never, ever does work out that way, we have a hard time reckoning with that whole reality. The fact that the reality in life and our fantasy are not the same. The fact that life took a left turn on us and took us someplace we did not expect. We experience a negative host of emotions as a result of this. At the very least, we experience deep disappointment. But it can be a whole range of negative emotions. It can include disillusionment, anger, bitterness, despair. Why? Because life did not work out the way that we expected it to work out. And the question is, why is it that we expect life to work out in some way that's different than life works out for us? See, if we, in those moments of our negative emotion, if we were able to honestly evaluate and examine what we were really truly expecting our life to be, we would discover a universal consistency. And it's this. We were not expecting suffering or hardship to be part of our equation in life. No one from 4 years old, when they dream about their life, says, I'm going to suffer when I grow up. I'm going to experience hardship in this life. No, we don't think in those terms. It's not part of our equation of how we view life. But why not? We know it's reality. Why do we not plan that hardship and suffering are going to come our way? It's part of life. But we don't. We don't plan on it. We envision our life to be something else. We envision that our life will be this unrealistic fantasy of comfort and ease. And we don't get that life of comfort and ease because no one ever does. That's not how life is. Life in this world is filled with hardship. We have to accept what is reality, and that is the reality. Christ promised us, in this world you will have tribulation. And so we don't get that life of comfort and ease that we might have expected. We do, however, get our share of suffering. We do get our fair share of hardship. But we ultimately must learn what the Apostle Paul learned. We must stop looking for God to change the equation of life itself, for God to somehow pluck us out of that experience of life. We have to stop looking for God to take these experiences from us, but rather we have to look to the reality that God's grace is sufficient for us. That God is in fact with us in the midst of those hardships, those struggles, the suffering. God is there and His power is prevalent and ready to be made perfect in those moments of our weakness. You see, it's generally not the case. It's not God's practice to take us out of the fire. It's not God's practice to take us out of the storm. It's not God's practice to take us out of the hardship, out of the struggle, out of the suffering. But rather, God walks with us through these things. We think about Christ on the Sea of Galilee with the disciples as they're journeying across the Sea of Galilee, and a storm arises. And the disciples think that they are going to perish. And they look around, and where's Christ? He's asleep. In the midst of the storm, He is asleep, at peace. That's an image of how our life should be, at peace in the midst of the storm, because God is with us. The disciples didn't quite have it yet. They weren't at peace, but that's what we should be, at peace in the midst of the storm, because God is with us. Or we think of the three holy youths of Babylon as they refuse to bow down to the idol that Nebuchadnezzar had created, and they are sentenced to that fiery furnace. God doesn't deliver them from the furnace. They are actually thrown into the furnace. God's grace was present there in the midst of the fire, and God's grace took them through to the other side. We need to recognize that is the way that God works. He takes us through these things. He doesn't deliver us from them. He delivers us through them to the other side. It's how it is in our life. Christ promised us that in this world we would have tribulation, but he also continued and said this, "But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So if we want to experience that good cheer that Christ speaks of, the joy that is available to us in Christ, if we want to know the beautiful rose of God's grace in our life, then we have to recognize that we have to endure some thorns along the way. And whatever the struggle, whatever the hardship, whatever the storm, whatever the fire, whatever the form of suffering that we face in this life, God is with us in the midst of the struggle. God is with us and His grace is sufficient for us in the midst of that struggle. God is with us and His power will be made known in our moments of weakness. When we think that we're past the breaking point in our life, that we think we have had too much, when we think we are beyond that point of what we can handle, we need to recognize that the Apostle Paul surely felt the same way. He was there too. And yet the Apostle discovered a beautiful mystery that he shares with all of us. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the fire, in the midst of the struggle, in the midst of the hardship, in the midst of the suffering, God is there. God is there and His power is sustaining us. God is there and His grace is sufficient for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.